The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We're not allowed to have the picture taken while we get on base.
Yeah, look.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And who's that by? DHS?
Yes. That in the United States Army.
Hey, boys,
we're on a federal installation. But DHS wants everything on the download.
I can give you my state ID, but our work ID, we're not allowed to let anyone
right,
take
the
a
one
picture.
That's right there?
Yeah, we're not allowed to.
Okay, I'll take your name. I don't care. State ID's fine.
State ID is working.
My thing is, I like to comply. You know what I'm saying? I comply.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Technically, we're not supposed to show IDs or anything like that. Like I said, everything's supposed to be hush-hush.
Everything's supposed to be hush-hush. That's the DHS. Think about this. It's the Department of Homeland Security. And they're shipping illegal aliens all over the country. And this is some body cam footage taken by a police officer back in August. Miranda Devine's writing about it at the New York Post. Tucker Carlson broke the story last night. It's a full-scale invasion. And it's brought on by Joe Obama. They come across the southern border illegally. And then Joe Obama, Barack Obama, he's the puppet master, and he takes them, he receives them in. He puts them on buses and on taxis, sends them to the airport, mostly small airports, because again, if it's under the cover of darkness, you can conceal the lawlessness, just like they did with the election steal. Close up all of those election counting facilities, give them a few hours to dump more ballots, illegal ballots, into the system. And then when the sun comes up, lo and behold, Joe Biden, he's ahead. Wow, I mean, this is America under attack. Just as our booklet said from 2013, I should say. Ten years ago almost. Lots to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. It goes into 11 million homes right around the country. It's got some replays that they put on Channel 6 as well. And of course, if you want to get to the live video stream, that's available exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream page every day. Oklahoma time, it's 11 a.m. on weekdays. 11 a.m. for a full hour. So much that we pack into 55 minutes, usually just one little 90-second promo in between. Have you ever noticed how many commercials there are? It used to be, I sit down and watch a show. Well, usually I record it so I can fast-forward through the show. But I have to fast-forward 5 minutes through 5 minutes of commercials. It used to be it was 2 minutes. But you get an 8-12-minute segment, then it's 5 minutes of commercials. And then the same thing repeats. I think you get about 40 minutes of content for an hour-long program on the cable news networks. But not so here. Sometimes we go straight through 55 straight minutes. I think we did that yesterday. We pack a lot into 1 hour of broadcasting, one of the fastest moving hours in broadcasting. So Miranda Devine, she writes this piece at the New York Post. She was the one that exposed all of the lawlessness with Hunter Biden and the Biden crime family and a few others as well. But she does some pretty good work exposing the rot, the filth, the evil, the lawlessness. It's going on right at the highest levels of government. The swamp, it's deep. No wonder they hated Donald Trump so much. Because he saw the sin. He saw the evil. It says here in her piece, while Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi go all out to protect Ukraine's national sovereignty, At the same time, they are orchestrating a clandestine invasion of America across the southern border. This is orchestrated. This is an attack. This is all part of the plan. And I'll read to you from a Trumpet article from way back in 2014, where we were saying this is when Obama was actually, you know, occupying the White House. Now he occupies it through Joe Biden. But we said back in 2014, look, this is what they want. It's all part of the plan. Wide open borders. Fundamental transformation. She says here, 2 million illegal immigrants from dozens of countries crossed over the Mexico border last year, or from Mexico last year, and the Biden administration is facilitating the cartel's people smuggling operation at taxpayer expense. As we covered on yesterday's show, so many of these people streaming into these detention facilities and then moved over to airports through buses and taxis and such. They're just young men. They're young men, single, in their 20s, streaming across the border. And then the Department of Homeland Security saying, hey, come on board, and we'll ship you to New York. We'll take you to Miami. We'll take you to Atlanta, Houston. We'll spread you out all over the nation. And you know how we know that they know this is an invasion? You know how we know that Joe Obama knows this is an invasion? Because look at what they say about Ukraine's territorial sovereignty. We played that clip for you yesterday. This is clip 11.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
All nations. Everyone understands this. Our borders should be inviolate. That's Joe Biden's deputy national security advisor. He said that the other day. We played the clip for you yesterday. They know. They certainly know that America's southern border is far from inviolate. They know it's an invasion. They're leading the invasion. They welcome the invasion. They want the invasion. Look at some of the first steps that the fake president took as soon as he occupied the White House. Dismantled everything that Donald Trump was doing with respect to border security. It says here in the New York Post, under cover of darkness, every night the federal government is transporting illegal immigrants as fast as it can away from the border on secret charter flights into unsuspecting communities around the country. Officials have lied and obstructed the few journalists who have tried to reveal the truth. There's only a few that even want to know the truth. I mean, how hard would it be, even if you're a local journalist somewhere, if you see these chartered flights coming in from who knows where, and they're DHS? They're landing at these small airports? Well, good for these law enforcement officials. Somebody that turned the footage over to Tucker Carlson. At least it can be exposed to some degree. This is from Tucker's show last night, clip 7.
So we've obtained exclusive body cam footage from the police department in Westchester County, New York. The footage shows about 100 apparently illegal immigrants, mostly teenagers, getting off a charter flight in the middle of the night in Westchester. The migrants then get on buses. Someone on the tape describes how, quote, DHS wants this on the lowdown. In other words, secret, so you won't know about it, despite the fact you're a U.S. citizen who is paying for it. They're hiding it from you. They're doing this without your consent, speaking of an attack on democracy. In the footage, Westchester police express their frustration with what's happening.
You trying to figure out what this is?
Yeah.
The bus is that?
Yeah. So we've been having, you're on a secure facility here, and we don't really know anything, and we're in charge of security. So that's hence where we're having a problem here.
So, yeah, we're hanging out here on the tarmac, like that.
I don't know anybody.
I used to pick up basketball teams that had more security.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And very easily, you know, a few people could just go that way. So I'm here to see
where they're coming from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's slowly coming together. But we also don't know, you know, really what's happening, how they're getting here, whatever else.
Now, just to be completely clear, what you just saw is illegal. That's a crime. That's why they're keeping it secret. The U.S. government is not allowed to abet the breaking of federal law. Sorry. And that's exactly what they're doing.
It's a crime, and taxpayers are funding it. We're paying for these DHS operations. A Department of Homeland Security. They're concerned about security at home, the DHS. I mean, we've reported on the DOJ, the FBI, the IRS, all of these agencies fully and completely weaponized by Barack Obama. And here the DHS is attacking the United States of America. It's unbelievable. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. This is from an article at The Trumpet in 2005. The fulfillment of the stranger rising up in great numbers and overwhelming the Israelitish people is a sign of God's curses being poured out on these nations. It's all part of fulfilled prophecy. The Bible prophesies of this, and we've written about it. That article is 17 years old. It's right out of the pages of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But who could have ever imagined that this kind of curse would be self-inflicted? That it would be spearheaded by the White House, by the DHS, by the DOJ. We wrote in 2014, this is during the Obama years, the Obama administration doesn't want a secure border. They don't want that. They can talk about how that the border of Ukraine should be inviolate. They can talk about Ukraine's sovereignty. But they don't want that for the United States. It says here, this is The Trumpet, 2014, liberal progressives envision a world without borders. They want open borders. This is what they have vowed to do from the very beginning, to fundamentally transform the United States of America. That's The Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today. If you don't have your subscription yet, make sure that you call our operators. The toll-free number is 1-866-930-3024. And you can get a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet. No cost, no obligation. If you want to learn tomorrow's news today, become a Trumpet subscriber. Here's another bit from Tucker's show last night, clip 8.
In the footage, a government contractor explains that the flights of illegal immigrants arrive at smaller airports to keep them hidden from the public.
You don't want to be somewhere where the spotlight is.
Yeah.
You want to try to keep it as down low as possible. A lot of this is just...
No, I get it. I just, like I said...
stuff that we don't tell people. Because what we don't want to do is attract attention. We don't want the media.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know where we're going when they tell us.
Oh, so just changing the population of your country, the one you were born in, but keeping it secret from you and then attacking you as some kind of bigot if you notice it. That's the game. Have you figured it out yet?
That's the game. That DHS guy, by the way, he said there, if you heard it, we don't even know where we're going when we start these operations. I mean, this is some kind of sinister behavior going on right at the top level of government in the United States of America. Miranda Devine says this is nothing short of a betrayal of the American people. And that's not just me saying it. Those are exactly the words of one federal government contractor employed to transport migrants from the southern border to the airport in White Plains. The government contractor who's helping them do this, he says it's a betrayal, but hey, I'm just here to comply. I'm just here to go along. I'm just here to follow orders. There's a lot of people like that in the United States today. There's a lot of people like that in government. You had whistleblowers galore during the Trump years, blowing a whistle when there was no crime committed. Look at Vindman. The president makes a phone call to the Ukrainian president, and he gets impeached over it. because they make it up. They didn't want the transcript to get out. They just wanted to say, oh, yeah, he nearly started World War III. And then President Trump releases the transcript, and you see that there's nothing to it. And yet they still go forward and impeach. These same people, like Tucker said there, if you even call into question what they're doing, this lawlessness done under the cover of darkness, then they say you're a bigot. They say you're a racist. Even as they go about shredding the Constitution of the United States. It says here, the men were standing beside a Boeing 737. It's talking about this body cam footage flown in from Fort Bliss, Texas, and so on. It says, damning footage. The 51-minute footage was obtained under a Freedom of Information Act request by former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, a Republican candidate for governor, in 2022. It says, throughout the footage, Police Sergeant Michael Hamborski expresses frustration that local police have been given no information about the flights arriving after curfew at the airport in breach of security protocols. So here are these police officers at these tiny regional airports in the middle of the night after the airports closed down, wondering what is going on. Who are you people? What is this operation? Well, it's the DHS bringing in illegals to a town near you. Listen again to Tucker from last night, clip 9.
Well, a different contractor offered his explanation for why this all secret.
I get the whole secrecy and all this, but this is even above my secret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
And why? You know why?
You know why.
Yeah, I know, but why? Why? Yeah.
Come on.
No, but what's the big secret? Everybody knows it's happening.
You know why? Because if it gets out, the government's betraying the American people.
Yeah, the government is betraying the American people. That is true. The Biden administration is changing this country without your consent. It's a crime and it's immoral.
The contractor admitted it. He's helping the process along, but he admits this is a betrayal. And more of America sees that it's a betrayal too. That's why the numbers are increasing to about 50% who believe the election was stolen. That was part of the attack as well. That was part of the betrayal as well. And now they're panicking, the communists. They're thinking, okay, if we're not going to be able to cheat as much in November this year, we got to try to force on through rewriting election laws so we can cheat every time. And Republicans and some of these state legislatures, they're wising up to what's happening. They see the attack. And you see the communists, they're panicking. They got to force Justice Breyer out of office or out of the Supreme Court. Because they got to hurry this summer to put someone in that's even more radical, that's even more of a communist. I mean, what a crazy story that is. Here, Justice Breyer's upset because he didn't even get to retire on his own terms. Obama wants him out of there. And so he had to go. And who knows? It's probably the radical that replaced Merrick Garland at that lower court in D.C. But it has to be a black woman. Joe Biden determined that when he was out on the campaign trail in South Carolina. So in other words, merit, I mean, that's out the window. If you're black and you're a woman, you could replace Justice Breyer. Some are speculating it's Kamala Harris. Who knows how this is going to unfold? There is, though, when you look at the election, when you look at the DHS, the plan, this clandestine plan to invade the United States, there's some kind of nefarious plan at work here with the Supreme Court as well. There's probably more to it than them just worrying that they might lose the Senate majority in November. We'll see how that this unfolds. But it's an attack. At every level, and you know who's at the top calling the shots. It's exactly who Jen Psaki occasionally happens to say when she inadvertently says the silent part out loud. It's been such a pleasure working for Barack Obama. Whoop. Everybody knows, and everybody knows this, says the police officer. They know what's going on. They know what's going on at MSNBC. They know what's going on at CNN. And yet it's just hush, hush. It's as brazen as these people that are just walking right into Rite Aid or Walmart or wherever it is in these dark blue cities, loading up their bags and then walking right out. Look at this footage from New York City just this week. Some thug, some criminal, he loads up his bags and he just walks right past the security guard. What a perfect symbol of what's happening at the highest levels of government. These DHS planes, they land in these small airports. There's all these law enforcement officials saying, what's going on? And the illegals just stream out. Yeah, they just stream out and they start blending right in with the United States of America. And ordinary citizens coming in from countries all over the world. No wonder the corrupt government in the United States sides with these ordinary criminals, these shoplifters, these rioters, except for the ones on January 6th. They're insurrectionists. Everybody else, you can kill, you can murder, you can rob, you can steal, you can burn. And don't worry, we'll try to get you out of prison or jail as soon as possible. They approve of lawlessness because they're guilty of it themselves. And what does Isaiah 1 say? It says, sick from head to toe. Sick from the very top, that would be government, right on down to the little baby toes, little tippy toes. Sickness through and through. Here's a left wing, a rabid left winger in New York City filming this shoplifter. I mean, the hatred that this celebrity has for Donald Trump, even he was shocked at the brazenness of this. Brazen like demons, as my father wrote in the latest trumpet. Crime just exploding all over the country. The New York Post, it says retail crime has been rising throughout the U.S. for the past 5 years, with organized criminal rings targeting stores everywhere from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, to Greensboro, North Carolina, to Grafton, Wisconsin. It says National Retail Federation reported that store losses mounted from $453,000 per $1 billion in sales in 2015 to $719,000 in 2020. The biggest increase over the period happened not during the pandemic, but in 2019 when total losses from shoplifting surged to $61 billion, up from $50 billion the previous year. The COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020 and early 2021 moderated losses, largely because stores were closed and had curtailed operating hours. Well, but now those stores are opening their doors, and look at what's happening. Listen to this from NBC, clip 12.
Police call it a crime of opportunity. Carjackers attacking unsuspecting drivers, swiping their vehicle, and in some cases, more.
They're taking cars with all weapons, gunpoint, knives.
This shocking attack in New York City caught on NYPD body cam video. The suspect able to get away, speeding down a busy street, plowing into parked cars as police tried to stop him. In Washington, D.C., council candidate Nate Fleming was recently carjacked at a gas station. A suspect seen pulling up in a red SUV. One points a gun at Fleming, then brazenly gets into his car.
Guns were pointed in my face before I could blink an eye.
And in New Orleans, a family forced out of their car.
And just started screaming, there's kids.
Police data shows carjackings are on the rise in many cities, up 55% in New York, 63% in Minneapolis, and a staggering 85% in Philadelphia.
A lot of it in broad daylight, brazen like demons. Legal insurrection. It says soft on crime policies are causing major problems in these blue cities. Major cities have seen an increase in carjackings and car thefts during the COVID pandemic. Washington, D.C. is receiving the most attention because as of January 20, it averages at least one per day, every day in D.C. You've got a carjacking every single day. It says here, this is important because people are literally taking a person's car from them in front of the person. I'm disappointed. Outlets rarely note the difference. Let me just back up. A carjacking takes place in the presence of the victim. So this is not stealing a car when they park it in a lot for 2 hours and go off to eat dinner. This is stealing a car when the car owner is right there. Car theft is stealing an unattended car. So carjackings are stealing a car, usually with a violent weapon or a dangerous weapon in hand. It says here, the majority happen in blue cities with rampant crime. Good old Chicago leads the way. CNN reports more than 1,800 carjackings were reported in Chicago last year. That's a lot more than one per day. Chicago, aren't these cities, wouldn't you love to live in these cities? I speak as a fool, of course. Chicago, New York City, Houston, Los Angeles, San Francisco. These cities are falling apart in more than one way. The curse of homelessness, carjackings, crime. This is over at Powerline. It says the Washington Post on the murder epidemic in American cities. It says, when I read this front page headline in the paper edition of yesterday's Washington Post, cities look to halt deadly surge. The author here says, I first thought he was talking about COVID. But here's the Washington Post admitting that there's a deadly surge in crime. I mean, it must be bad if the Washington Post is reporting on it. It must be bad if NBC is reporting on it. It must be bad if someone can just waltz into Rite Aid in New York City in broad daylight, fill up his bags with goods, and walk right by a security guard out of the store and onto the street. And he doesn't even run. He doesn't even run away. The New York Post. Well, I'll come to that in a second. This is, again, from Powerline. It says, yes, the Washington Post has finally acknowledged the epidemic of violent crime in America. The reporter seems uncertain as to why, though, homicides are surging. So they're reporting on the crime, but they can't bring themselves to address root causes. Well, the root cause, of course, is that America is under attack. America's under attack. And all these efforts to defund the police, to let criminals out of jail, all these George Soros-funded district attorneys who come in saying, you know what? We're going to make some of these more serious crimes just misdemeanors. We'll just give people a slap on the wrist. Let's let people out of jail. I saw the story the other day. This young kid, 19 or 20, shot his girlfriend 22 times. He's out on bail. It wasn't enough for him, this deranged, demonic lunatic, to shoot and kill his girlfriend with one or two shots. He had to do it 22 times, and now he's out on bail. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is Sodom and Gomorrah and worse. And that's it's exactly what Jesus said. As in the days of Noah, the hearts and minds of men on evil continually. And of course, it's allowed because, well, look at the evil at the very, very top. Department of Homeland Security? Really? Joe Obama put the stop on another pipeline. That's pretty revealing, too. The pipelines he stops, Keystone, that would help America. That would help America's economy. That would give us jobs. That would make us energy independent. So, of course, Joe Obama says, no way, close it down. Nord Stream 2, well, that helps Russia. It helps Germany. So, hey, let's get behind that project. Here's another one. The New York Post says, if you need any more proof that the anti-American, pro-Russia, pro-Iran, pro-China, anti-Israel wing of the Democrat Party has captured the White House flag. Last week, we learned that Team Biden plans to put the kibosh on a natural gas pipeline with U.S. involvement that would reduce Europe's dependence on Russian energy. So this is through the Mediterranean. It would bring energy into Europe and then Germany and then the rest of Europe. They wouldn't be so dependent on Russia. But Joe Biden, Barack Obama say, no way. We're not gonna allow this pipeline to go forward. It says here, the Eastern Mediterranean gas pipeline, which would carry Israeli and Cypriot natural gas, is yet another energy resource serving America's strategic interests that the Biden White House wants gone. It's an attack. It's an invasion. And they're acting out of desperation now because they know that if they can't cheat in 10 or 11 months, they know they're going to begin to lose their grip on power. And for them, that's all that matters. They've got to amass power and then do anything to keep hold of that stranglehold, that power. It really is a demonic spirit moving these people to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Bitter, bitter, bitter affliction indeed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you haven't requested your own copy of America Under Attack, I know we plug this booklet probably more than just about any other booklet, but call our operators today and request America Under Attack. The toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In recent shows, we've talked about having the curiosity and the interest to ask the really big and important questions, and then having the zeal to go after it in our study to find the answer. God is educating his family, preparing us to teach the whole world. And so as future teachers, we've got to be good disciples or students right now and prepare well for that calling. In Mystery of the Ages, the opening pages of that book, talk about big and important questions. Mr. Armstrong asked them. It says here, the beginning of opening my mind to the truth covered in this book began in the summer of 1926. He said, I asked myself, listen to this, I asked myself, who am I? What am I? Why am I? I tried to reason out the answer, but I couldn't. It was a mystery. Then that very autumn, I was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on a biblical question and the theory of evolution. This resulted in opening my mind to amazing vistas and depths of knowledge and understanding. Mr. Armstrong had a very curious mind, His father said he should have been a Philadelphia lawyer because he always wanted to know why. He always wanted to understand why. And that's the way we want to be with respect to spiritual understanding. The very first and great question in Mystery of the Ages that's answered is, who and what is God? What is God's purpose and plan? There's so much depth to those subjects. I mentioned the other day this lecture I gave in Marriage and Family on the role of the father and how that it's so important, that position that God himself is in. He's the father over all. And he knows that that role and the understanding of that role or understanding why it's there, it's so important that he actually puts a type of himself in every physical family. There's a father, well, at least there should be, in every household. I understand that the family's upside down and there's lots of dysfunctional families, but Satan the devil's behind that. Satan knows if he can take out the father, he can probably take out the family. And his ultimate target is God the Father. There's a conspiracy against fatherhood. Then this morning in Principles of Living, I'm talking to the freshman there about family and how that the basis or the foundation of family, God's family and the physical family, is that of agape love, God's love. God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8, verse 16. And we love him because he first loves us. That's verse 19 of 1 John 4. And so the family relationship. God is a family. He set out from the very beginning to reproduce himself through family. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Read it. And then he ordained marriage as an institution. It's a God-plane relationship. These are some of the fundamental and basic lectures that I get to go through the students, that I get to go through with the students every year, and I never get tired of it. I certainly don't understand these subjects perfectly, even though I give the lectures a lot. Every year I go through it, or if it's every other year, if it's a class that we offer every 2 years, it's always very corrective, as you just see where you fall short. As a husband, as a father, as a Christian, as a disciple. God is educating us. God is pleading with us. God wants us to answer the big questions. He wants for it to transform our lives for the better. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't conform to this world. Don't just go along with the world, but be transformed into a son of God. I mean, this is the kind of fundamental transformation that God heartily endorses, quite unlike the attack coming from the communist wing of the Democrat Party. Fundamentally transformed into a God being, into a child of God. Notice Isaiah 1 and verse 3. In the opening pages of Mystery of the Ages, that first chapter, Who and What is God? Mr. Armstrong says it's important at the very outset of this first chapter that you notice God calls these humans his own children. We'll see that in a second. Many people say, God just doesn't seem real to me. God is a great mystery to them. Their own human fathers don't seem like a mystery. They seem real. If your human father seems real to you, then it follows that you should be able to worship God in spirit and truth, like it says in John 4, and that he should be real. You know him. You talk to him. He talks to you through Bible study. God wants us to work on that relationship above all else. Verse 3 of Isaiah 1, it says, the ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. You can read the previous verses again and see where God refers to them as children. And then he says, look, the ass knows his owner and the ox. So why won't my people acknowledge me? Why won't they return home to me? Like the cows do in India. Mr. Armstrong wrote about that example. They wander the streets during the day, but they know where to go at night. They know their way back to their master. And yet my people don't know, God says. My people don't know. They won't return to me. They don't want to strengthen that relationship with me. They don't want a relationship with me. Well, you read about the sickness from head to toe. I mentioned that in the first segment. That's in the next few verses, verses 4, 5, 6. But notice verse 17. It says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. See, we have to first learn how to do these things. We're disciples, as I say. And Isaiah 28 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So they're progressing. They're being nurtured by the word of God, the truth of God. They're brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They progress from milk to strong meat, like it says over in Hebrews 5. Verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Eternal. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come and let us reason together, says God. God wants to educate us. This is how you educate yourself the right way. This is true education, reasoning together with God. What is God's take? What is God's perspective? What does God think about shoplifting, about crime? What does God say about carjackings? What does God say about punishment? Law, order. What does God say about governments that oppress the people, that attack their own people? You can see, as I told the freshman students this morning, you can see what's missing. In all the earth, in every nation, the world has been cut off from the tree of life. They've been cut off from the Spirit of God. You see it in Genesis 3, the action that God took, because Adam and Eve said, you know what? I don't want a relationship with my maker. I think what Satan is arguing here makes sense to me. And I'm looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and I desire the fruit from that tree. This is what I want. I want to take. I want to get. I don't want to love. I don't want to go to the tree of life and receive the Spirit of God's love. And so God said, all right, go the way of get. And I'll cut you off from the way of give, the way of love. He banished them from the garden. And then he sent some angels to protect, to guard, to preserve the way of the tree of life, the way of love. God is love. And love is obeying God's laws. God is a God of order. He's a lawgiver. He's government-oriented, righteous government, righteous rule. That's what's coming to this whole earth. At the return of Jesus Christ, God will establish his government, his family government over all nations. And there will be law and order. There won't be shoplifting. There won't be carjackings. There won't be any murders. There won't be corrupt government agents trying to frame other people for crimes. There won't be government agencies carrying out lawless behavior in the middle of the night. There won't be cheating and stealing. There won't be fake elections. There won't be elections. There will be government, though. God's government. God's family government. This is in The Incredible Human Potential, another book by Herbert Armstrong. I'm not sure if I have that here. I'll get that next time. Great book. You can call our operators and request that one as well. 1-866-930-3024. IHP. It says, if there is purpose, what is it? Why were you born? Where are we going? What is the ultimate transcendent potential of man? What is the way? How do we achieve that destiny? Mr. Armstrong asked a lot of big questions. Are you curious enough? Are you interested enough to ask these same questions and to go get the answers? They're in this book. You can call the number there on your screen. The incredible human potential. Who even understands about this? Who even cares about this potential? About what purpose God had in mind from the very beginning? When he said in the first chapter of your Bible, let us, there were more than one, there were two, God and the Word, John 1, read it. Let us create man in our image and likeness. Wow. What a purpose. Made in the image and likeness of God. Mr. Armstrong asked, what is man? Just what are we after all? Science can't learn that secret. Religions have never rightly explained it. But the true gospel, when fully understood, reveals the answer and in truth. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Who understands the truth about the kingdom, though? God's kingdom to be set up and established on this earth. It says in IHP again, what is the human mind and how does it differ from the animal brain? Why, when the human mind can invent the computer and can learn to send men to the moon and back, can't such minds solve their own problems here on earth and live at peace with their fellows? Why can't we solve our problems? Why is there so much corruption and lawlessness? Why is there so much hatred? We've got all the gadgets. We've got all the technological advancements. But we've got so much misery and competition and strife and hatred and bitterness. This is Psalm 8. In verse 1, King David, who wrote, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, have you ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. It says, when I consider, this is Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, he says in verse 4, what is man that you're even mindful of him? When I consider the vastness of your material creation, the stars, the moons, the sun, the galaxies, we're just like a little tiny, tiny little speck comparatively, a grain of sand. So why would you be concerned about us? What is man? Why are you mindful of us? Why do you care? Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2, it talks about how that God looks to this man, the one that trembles before his word, the one that's contrite, humble, teachable. You mean God would actually look to a man, an individual, a disciple like that? That's what your Bible says. Wow, I mean, it just blew David away. Why should you be mindful of me? Why should you care about me? In the incredible human potential, again, it says, once understood, it will seem that the supposedly stupendous fund of knowledge disseminated in the great universities is, in fact, infantile. It will seem as if man knows now almost nothing. For the missing dimension in knowledge is the all-important knowledge. See, we can't really grasp just how inadequate and even infantile this world's educational system is until we get this vision, this incredible human potential, until we understand God's purpose, his plan for man, what he's working out here below. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. Are you ready? Are you ready for that reality? It is sure. It is certain. He lives. He's at the right hand of God. And they've had a hands-off policy for 6,000 years because, well, Adam and Eve wanted to go this way. And all of humanity has followed along the same way, except for a tiny few that God has called out in advance of the return of Christ to prepare them, to teach all the rest, to set up Armstrong colleges or ambassador colleges all over the earth, imperial academies, and to teach parents, to teach fathers, mothers about family. Why family? Why male and female? Why did God create sex? What is its purpose? Why did he create marriage? Why does he put a type of himself in every family? What is so significant about the father's role? Why does this new thing described in Jeremiah 31 and verse 22, why is it something that sounds so simple? A woman encompassing a man. How can that be new? How can that be a deep subject? There's no deeper subject in your Bible. There's no deeper subject, period, than the family of God. This is what God is. God is a family. And the basis, the foundation for that family relationship is God's love. And God's love is an unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of the one loved. That's how Herbert Armstrong defined it so many different times and ways in all of his literature and writings, over and again. What is God's love? It's an unselfish, outflowing concern for the good and welfare of the one loved. God's demonstrated his love for us. He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. He sent his only begotten Son to this earth in human flesh to be sacrificed, to be slaughtered, so that he could build a family. And right there at the very end of Christ's ministry, when he was being slaughtered, your Bible says that God the Father had to turn away, had to forsake his Son. He became the sin sacrifice for the whole world. And God went through it all as the Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ, the Son, he endured it all for you and me, for God's family, so that we could be born into the family of God. I mean, that just blows you away when you think about that potential. What is man that you're mindful of him? Why do you even care about man? Look at what we've done to this earth. Look at what we've done to one another. Look at our history. Look at our track record. Look at these great nations of Israel, the United States, Great Britain, little Judah in the Middle East. Look at what we've become. Look at what sin has done to our nations. Look at the sickness that you see from head to toe. As I've said so often before, it's hard to watch your nation die. But look at the nation that God is going to raise up. He's going to spring it on the entire earth. A spiritual nation, spiritual Israel, the family of God, the kingdom of God, God's family, administering God's family government over all the earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can write us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.